This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Spencer Cohen Series, Book 1, by N. R. Walker, narrated by Joel Leslie. Chapter 1. I walked out of the tattoo shop on Abbot Kinney Boulevard and smiled into the warm L.A. afternoon sun. My last job had paid well, so I'd just put 2 months' rent in my landlord's hand for the small apartment above the shop that I'd called home, since I'd arrived from Australia 2 years ago. I love this place. Los freakin' Angeles. I fit in here. I found the one place where I could be me. Where I belonged. There was always bustling, always something doing. A million strangers, yet I'd come to know the locals, and some of them even called me by name.
Hey, Spencer!
Lola waved at me from a table at the back of the coffee shop. She looked gorgeous, as always. Her usual 50s-style rock and roll dress and her bright pink hair matched the Japanese blossom tattoo down her arm. She was my best friend and had lined up my next prospective client. I kissed her cheek. Hey, beautiful. She beamed a pale pink lip gloss smile up at me, and I sat down at the table. We ordered our usual drinks, and as we waited for them to arrive, I prompted the conversation. So, tell me about this guy.
Well,
she started.
I met his sister at a job just this last weekend.
The wedding? I asked. How did it go? Lola ran her own makeup styling business, and weddings were just one of her specialties. Our drinks arrived. Lola sipped a coffee, and I let my tea brew a little longer.
Oh, it went just fine,
she said, putting her cup back down on the table.
Anyway, the sister was a bridesmaid, and we got to talking. Her brother's just broken up with his fiancée, and she mentioned he was trying to get him back.
I smiled.
So, I told her I know a guy,
Lola said, looking pointedly at me.
Who might just be able to help him with that?
He's gay, I asked. She said he was trying to get him back, but I wanted to be sure.
Sure is.
I sighed, a little relieved. I had no problem working with straight clients, but batting for my own team was my preferred choice, especially when public displays of affection were required. Sidling up to a stubble jaw was more my thing than a sweetly perfumed soft-skin one. What else do you know about him?
Just that his sister said he was devastated and probably wouldn't want anything to do with this, but that they'd be here at 3.
I looked at my watch. It was right on 3. Lola patted my hand on the table.
Oh, here they are now.
I looked up at who was walking in. The woman was first, with blondish shoulder-length hair, pale skin and a wide smile. She was a beautiful woman. The guy behind her had short, sandy blonde hair and palish skin. He was cute too, in a normal guy kind of way. He also looked like he'd rather be anywhere else but here. Lola and I both stood up and Lola waved them over.
Sarah, so nice to see you again. You too,
Sarah said. She looked right at me and grinned.
I'm Sarah, and this is my brother, Andrew Landon.
She turned to her brother, which of course made both Lola and I look at her brother, and there was Andrew staring at me. I was used to this. I didn't exactly fit the well-adjusted into society mold. I had a white button-down shirt on with the sleeves rolled up to my elbows, which meant he could see my arms. My full-sleeved, tattooed arms. I wore 3/4 brown dress pants and suspenders, loafers, and my hair was shaved at the sides and kind of long on top. and I had a bit of a beard happening. Lola called my look lumbersexual hipster once, and it wasn't until I got home and Googled it that I agreed with her. Though I kept my beard short, but it was a beard nonetheless. I think this was a mistake. Andrew mumbled and he turned to leave. Sarah grabbed his arm before he could walk away.
You said you'd hear him out.
Andrew stopped and took a deep breath, and although it was clearly not where he wanted to be, he stayed. I smiled at him. Take a seat. Let me get you a drink. Coffee? Sarah sat down with a tentative, apologetic smile and waited for her brother to do the same. Andrew sat with a barely contained sigh and forced a somewhat appeased look onto his face. So I'm the loser who needs help getting my fiancé back. I looked at him for a long moment. No, you have a loser of an ex who needs reminding of what he's missing. That must have caught him by surprise. He tilted his head, opened his mouth to say something, but promptly snapped it shut. Sarah spoke instead.
We'll just give you boys a minute. Okay?
She eyeballed her brother in a be nice or else kind of way, before giving Lola a nod toward the service counter. When it was just me and Andrew, I leaned back in my chair, smiled and said nothing. I wanted to see how long it would take him to talk. He crossed his arms, then uncrossed them, then shook his head. It wasn't even 15 seconds. Look, I don't know how these things work. It's easy, I told him. You tell me everything you know about your ex, where he works, where he hangs out, where he shops. We just happen to be there, being all close and whatnot, and make sure he sees us. And? And you find out if he wants you back or not. Andrew frowned at the window that fronted the street and folded his arms. He was silent for 9 seconds before he added, "He'll never believe I'm with a guy like you." "Like me?" I questioned. "Yes, you're cool and hip, and I'm not." "I can be anything you need me to be," I said. "Do you really pretend to be someone's boyfriend for a living?" "Yes, I do." "Your accent. Are you Australian?" "Yes, I am." "How did you start out doing this?" he asked. "I mean, it's not exactly a job I'd imagine is advertised." I nodded toward Lola. I'd been here in L.A. for all of a week when I met Lola. She'd just broken up with her guy, and I took her out for coffee. He saw us, thought I was a new boyfriend. He turned into a sappy puddle of goo on the footpath, and my work was done. She joked that it worked so well I should do it for a living, I told him. Andrew's brow furrowed. With her? You worked with women. I smiled at him. I work for whoever pays. But yes, I started out as the straight boyfriend. But then same-sex marriages were a thing, and as a gay man it was a natural progression for me. Are you really gay, or is it part of the act? Fair question, which I had no problems in answering. I leaned in so not everyone in the cafe could hear. I'm gay. I like men. I like the feel of stubble. I like hard muscles, not soft feminine skin. I love dick. I like sucking it and being fucked by it. But most of all, I love ass. So, yes, I'm gay. Queer as a $3 bill. His mouth fell open and he blinked a few times, shocked at my bluntness. If we were going to do this, he'd get used to it. What's your ex's name? Eli. How long were you together?
8 months.
How long ago did he leave? His voice was so quiet I barely heard him.
1 month ago.
I gave him a moment. He was obviously still hurting. Are you out? I mean at work, friends, family. Do they know you're gay? His eyebrows knitted together and a hint of offense sparked in his eyes.
Yes.
I only ask because if we do this, I'll have to get to know you pretty well. And there'll be some times where we need to be close in public, like I might hold your hand, lean in close and talk in your ear, that kind of thing. So Eli can see us being all friendly. For this to work, you need to be comfortable with that. You also need to reciprocate it so it looks authentic. Can you do that? Andrew swallowed hard and shrugged one shoulder. Andrew, do you want to do this? I asked him outright. He looked up at the ceiling and puffed out his cheeks as he exhaled, but didn't answer. So I rephrased my question. Do you want to get Eli back? Andrew's gaze darted to mine, and he seemed embarrassed to answer.
Yeah.
I held out my hand for him to shake, which he looked at for a second before he took my hand in his. His strong grip surprised me. Then let's do this, I said with a grin. I let go of his hand and sat back in my seat. Okay, first things first. Tell me everything I need to know about you. Andrew glanced at his sister. Do we have to do this here? Obviously, he didn't really want to go into details in front of his sister in the middle of a cafe on a busy Friday afternoon. I didn't exactly blame him. Just when I thought this whole agreement might be like pulling teeth, and therefore a mistake, he suggested I meet him at his place the next day. Perfect, I agreed. I'll bring lunch. What's your favorite?
My favorite what?
I almost laughed. Your favorite thing to have for lunch. Oh, he blinked in surprise. He paused, then shook his head. I'm not fussy. You were going to say something but stopped, I said. Tell me. He hesitated. Well, there's a deli not far from where I live. They make these... He put his hands out to show me the size of a basketball. Antipasto salads. Okay, then, I said with a smile. Antipasto salads it is. I'll pick some up on my way. I can call them ahead of time, if you want, he said, then cleared his throat. If that's okay, I can text you the address. Perfect. Make it for 12:30. Andrew nodded and gave me a half-smile, and this job was officially moving forward. Figuring it was as good a time as any, we talked about the contract agreement, and I told him my payment terms and conditions. Half up front, half at the conclusion. And whilst I guaranteed an outcome, I could never guarantee it would be the outcome he wanted. We exchanged addresses, emails and phone numbers, shook hands again, and I promised to see him tomorrow. Lola watched them leave, then took a seat next to me and nudged me with her elbow.
He's cute.
He's heartbroken, I amended. She sighed dramatically.
His sister's really nice.
Did she say anything? I asked. About Andrew or his ex? Lola shook her head.
Not really. She talked about the wedding last weekend, mostly. It's pretty obvious she loves her brother, though. Everything else, you're gonna have to find out on your own.
She waggled her eyebrows at me. I laughed at her. Starting tomorrow, that's exactly what I plan on doing. Chapter 2. With a basketball-sized salad in hand, I knocked on Andrew's apartment door. It was a large ground-floor apartment in Echo Park, with a cottage feel, complete with white window shutters and decorative handrail. Whether he rented or owned, it was apparent Andrew had some money. Then again, the guys who could afford to pay me usually did. Andrew opened the door. He wore dark blue jeans and a white button-down shirt. His blonde spiky hair was brushed to the side. He was clean-shaven and everything about him said tidy. His smile was a little forced, but he stepped aside and said, "Come in." I stepped inside, not unaware of how good he smelled, not sure where to go, but headed into the front living room. It was furnished like a proper house, like he had his shit together. A baby grand piano sat in the corner, all shiny and dustless, matching sofas, different colored cushions, and framed hand-drawn ink pictures on the walls that tied all the colors together. The room was filled with natural light. Everything was in its place. I wondered briefly if he'd hired a designer, but looking back at Andrew and how perfectly put together he was, I had no doubt he did this on his own. I gave him a smile, and he wiped his hands down his thighs, clearly nervous at having me here. I held out the brown paper bag. "Lunch." "Right," he said, walking past me. This way." I followed him through a door at the end of the room, which led to a small, well-appointed kitchen. He collected two plates and some cutlery. "May I get you a drink?" I found myself smiling at him. "Yes, you may. Water would be fine." He paused, probably not sure if I was taking the piss or not, before he took two bottles of water from his fridge. We sat down at the small table just off the kitchen in front of a large window that overlooked a courtyard. "Nice place," I said as we started to eat. He looked up at the window like he'd forgotten it was there. "Thanks. How long have you lived here?"
"Just over 12 months."
He didn't offer any more information willingly. I took another mouthful of the salad. "Oh, this is good." And it was. A mix of marinated artichoke, eggplant, capsicums, beets, pasta spirals, and rocket leaves. He nodded and swallowed his food. "It is. They also do a range of homemade pastries and soups, which I love in winter, but their salad bar is my favorite." "So," I prompted him, now that he was talking at least, "tell me the Andrew Landon story." His fork stopped halfway to his mouth. "There's not a great deal to tell." I looked at him for a long moment. He clearly had a self-esteem issue. "Well, there's a beautiful piano out there that begs to differ." He almost smiled. "My parents had me in lessons from the age of 4. "Classical." He nodded and ate his forkful of salad. I waited for him to swallow it so he'd continue. "My sister did ballet, I did piano," he offered. "My parents are theater people."
"And I know you're gay."
It wasn't really a question because he'd already told me the answer yesterday. He blinked and delicately put his fork on his empty plate, perfectly centered, 12 to 6 o'clock, whereas mine was thrown on at about 10 to 4. "Yes, they know."
"Is it an issue for them?"
He shook his head a little. "No, it's not an issue." A part of me sighed with relief inside. I always dreaded asking the parental question. "I'm sorry if some of these questions are personal," I told him. "But that's what I'm here for.
I need to get to know you. He nodded. That's okay. I'm just not used to it, that's all. If there's anything you think that crosses a line, just call Vito, and I'll back off, I said. We have a goal here, and that's to get Eli to realize he made a mistake. But that doesn't mean open season on your personal life. I will respect your boundaries. He nodded again and visibly relaxed. He even gave me a smile before he cleared away the plates. Thank you for lunch. My pleasure. I can see why it's your favorite. It was delicious. He smiled as he put the plates into the sink. Shall we move into the living room? It's more comfortable. We shall. He paused again, obviously not liking me repeating his words, but still he said nothing. I'm not taking the piss, I said, standing up from the table. In fact, I like the way you speak. It's cool to hear someone actually use the English language as it was intended. It's a nice change. He frowned again, as though he liked the insult more than the compliment, before walking out to the living room. He sat on the end of the three-seater sofa, so I followed his lead, but sat myself right in the middle. I positioned myself kinda side onto him, and folded one leg under the other, careful not to put my boot on the sofa, and dived right in for the details. So, tell me about you. He was back to being nervous, sitting up straight with his hands balled into fists on his thighs. Well, what do you want to know? How old are you? 26. What do you do for work? I'm a visual animator. What? No way. Yeah. I work for DreamWorks. Shut the front door. Andrew looked to the front door. Seriously? I asked with a laugh. An animator for DreamWorks? He nodded and bit his lip. It's not that exciting. I mean, I love it, but it's fastidious work. It might sound glamorous, but it's a very slow and arduous job. I am so impressed, I said, shaking my head. I cannot believe that's what you do. He blushed, but his brow furrowed. Why can't you believe it? Do I not seem the type? Oh, God, I thought he wasn't good enough. No, I mean, if you'd said you were in finance or law, I would have thought, okay, cool. Do you think I'm boring? I snorted. No, not boring. I think you're serious. Serious but very interesting. And what's to say people in finance and law are boring anyway? Who knows? Maybe there's some interesting corporate lawyer or finance consultants somewhere in the world. They haven't found any yet, but it's not impossible. He almost smiled. So, do you work on films? I asked, unable to hide my excitement. I knew LA was full of entertainment industry people, but animation and cartoonography? Well, that was something else. Have I seen your work? Please tell me you worked on Shrek, because that is the funniest movie ever. Oh, no, I don't work on films as such, he said apologetically. Anyway, for me to have worked on Shrek, I'd have been 10 years old. Oh, right. He seemed amused. Have you been to Universal Studios? No. He blinked. Oh, okay then. My answers seemed to throw him. Well, they have animations throughout. Or the promotional shots, I work on those. Some cover artwork, that kind of thing. Wow, that's incredible, I told him. He bit his lip, but it was clear my approval pleased him. Tell me what you do every day. What's a typical day at work for you? He cleared his throat. Well, I work at the animation studio in Glendale. I start at 8:30. We have a lot of team meetings, that kind of thing, in the mornings, usually. I'm technically a look development artist. You know, the storyboards with hand-drawn characters and scenes on them? That's what I do. For promotional work.
Wow. He forced a smile and picked at his thumbnail in his lap.
We're given a directive from HQ. We do the boards with scenes and characters from the movie and then hand it over to the art department. They make it adaptable, then it goes to sets and a few other teams before it gets to animation.
I shook my head. I'm so impressed.
It's not like I'm developing original characters or anything, he said, downplaying himself completely. It's actually pretty easy to take established characters and landmarks and work with those instead.
Well, I'm still impressed. It's fascinating.
Then I noticed the framed artwork on the wall again.
Oh my God,
I said, getting up and walking over to them. There were three square frames, each showcasing an abstract ink-drawn human and his horse with a funny tail.
No, not a horse.
A dog.
No, wait, it was a dragon.
Oh, holy shit. It was from How to Train Your Dragon. It wasn't the characters that were colored. It was the background, but only barely. It was beyond abstract. It was stunning.
You did these?
Andrew nodded. My first ever boards. They let me keep them. They weren't the finished product anyway, just sketches, really. He walked over and stood beside me. I finished them here and added the colors to the background later. I was still in awe of his talents.
It's like a watercolor, I murmured.
I stared at him until he turned to look at me.
Andrew, they are amazing.
He blushed and swallowed hard before giving me a shy smile.
Thank you.
You should do art. He blinked in surprise.
I do art.
No, not for movies or promotional studio stuff, I corrected. But for art galleries and that kind of art.
Seriously?
He shook his head at me and went back to the sofa. Why? I have the best job in the world.
True.
I sat beside him and gave one last look to the framed boards.
And just so you know, I loved that movie.
Now he laughed. His whole face changed when he smiled with abandon. He got those little wrinkles at the corners of his eyes, and his eyes glittered somehow. His laugh was deep and contagious.
What? I said indignantly, but smiling. I happen to like animated movies.
But I didn't want him to lose his good mood, so I asked him more questions before he went all quiet on me again. Tell me about the people you work with.
They're all good people, he said.
We have a certain freedom at work. I would be, how did you put it? The serious one, I guess.
I didn't mean that in a bad way, I added.
Oh, I know, he offered. It's true, I've always been that way. The quiet, serious one, for the most part.
You know what they say about that, I said with a smile. It's the quiet ones you have to watch.
Andrew scoffed out a laugh. Well, I don't know about that. I needed to keep asking him questions. But I'd seen yesterday how he could clam up and not want to answer anything if he was backed into a corner. So I needed to stay on safer topics.
Okay, quick fire questions, I said. Food you can't stand.
Avocado. It's slimy and wrong.
Coffee?
Yes.
How do you like it?
Latte with 2%. No sugar or syrups.
What day do you do your laundry?
Saturdays.
Oh. Am I interrupting your laundry?
He smirked. No. I live dangerously like that.
I laughed. Gym membership?
Yes.
Allergic to dogs?
No. Cats?
No. Horses?
He laughed.
No.
Favorite movie? He glanced up at the wall at the framed drawings and smiled. How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Unfair! I cried.
Okay, favorite movie you haven't worked on? He smiled again and looked up like the answer was written on the ceiling. Blade Runner or A Clockwork Orange?
Okay, stop, I said, putting my hands up. You can't just go from cutesy animated DreamWorks to gritty Ridley Scott and Stanley Kubrick.
He was clearly surprised that I was familiar with the directors. Were there rules?
He countered.
Well, no. Next question. I let out an incredulous laugh.
I can't just leave it at that.
Seriously? A Clockwork Orange? I also love the classics like Frankenstein and The Wizard of Oz.
I shook my head.
You are a complex man. He was grinning now. He really was very good-looking.
Not really. Yes, really.
Favorite book?
Oh.
He squinted, as though it pained him to pick just one.
To Kill a Mockingbird. I know, it's everyone's favorite book.
He shrugged.
Well, there's a reason why it's everyone's favorite, I added.
Favorite song?
He put his hand up. No, too many to choose from.
Everyone has an all-time favorite song.
He shook his head.
Do you?
Yes.
What is it?
Not telling. Today is all for questions about you, not me.
When is it your turn to answer questions?
Tomorrow.
We're meeting tomorrow?
Yep.
Where at?
My place,
I offered without any clue as to why. The words were out before I could stop them.
If you want, or we can go someplace else, I don't mind.
And you'll tell me what your favorite song is then?
Yep. As long as you narrow yours down to one.
One favorite song. He smiled and shook his head. I could call Vito.
I grinned back at him.
You could, but you won't.
Okay, so tell me about your friends.
He paused.
Will you want to meet them?
He asked. His smile was gone and there was caution in his eyes.
That depends, I answered with a shrug, trying to be casual. It was like I'd hit a nerve. If I need to, I guess I will. But right now I just need to know what makes you tick. Then I asked, would you have a problem with me meeting them?
He was quick to answer. Oh, no, no, it'd be fine, I guess.
He shook his head.
I just didn't know how far this went, that's all. I don't want them to get the wrong idea about us, and I'd prefer not to tell anyone that this, he motioned between us, is a contract deal.
It goes as far as we need it to go, and you can tell people whatever you're comfortable in telling them.
I told him with what I hoped was a reassuring smile.
It goes as far as getting Eli to see us together and hopefully make him see what he walked away from. And that's all.
Andrew nodded and looked back down at his hands. I took a deep breath.
Okay, so tell me about him.
What do you want to know?
Full name.
Eli Masterson. How old is he? 25. Where did you meet? He smiled. In the grocery store. Who asked who out? Andrew blinked, and he answered softly. He asked me. Do you have any pictures of him? Andrew fished his phone out of his pocket. He thumbed through some pages, then handed it to me. There's a few, he said. You can scroll through, if you like. Eli had dark hair, dark eyes, olive skin, and a toothy smile. The first picture was of them taking a selfie. Eli was holding something in his hands. Andrew was holding the phone, so I assumed the photo was his idea. I scrolled back to another one, and it was a candid of Eli. Then another of him poking his tongue out. Then one of them sitting together, the photo taken by someone else. They looked happy enough, though, and it really wasn't like I knew Andrew very well, and I never even laid eyes on Eli. They looked decidedly normal. How long were you together?
8 months, Andrew said.
And you live together?
He nodded.
We'd only been dating for a month or two when he moved in. He laughed, an incredulous sound. That sounds stupid, I know. But he was here almost every day anyway, and he was paying rent for an apartment he was never at, so it made sense.
Andrew sighed long and loud. Our whole relationship was a bit of a whirlwind. Everything happened so quickly.
You were engaged?
Yes.
Then he shrugged one shoulder.
Well, not technically. We didn't have rings or anything. He asked me to marry him, but then he never brought it up again.
Oh, strange. There was something I had to know.
Andrew, can I ask you something personal?
He laughed.
And you haven't already?
I smiled at that. True as it was, this was different.
Did he hurt you?
Andrew froze, then blinked.
When he left me?
No, I mean, did he ever hurt you? Was he rough, intimidating, or aggressive in any way?
What? No, he shot back.
No, nothing like that at all. He was never like that. Why would you ask that? Do you think I'd want him back if he did?
I put my hand up in a peace offering kind of way. I just needed to know what I was dealing with and whether some jealous psycho would want me dead for being with you. I ask everyone that.
Well, technically I didn't. I only asked that question if it was warranted.
He took his phone back like I'd offended Eli's photograph.
He's not like that at all. I know some people didn't like him much, but they didn't know him like I did.
Fair enough, I said. I meant no harm.
He said Eli never hurt him physically, and I believed him. There was just something about Eli that didn't sit well with me. Maybe once I got to know him better, I'd change my mind. Andrew clearly loved him, and my objective was to get them back together, not to see if Eli was worth his salt.
When did you speak to him last?
Last week, Andrew said, talking to the photo of Eli.
Who initiated contact?
Andrew cleared his throat. I called him.
And how was it? I asked. Was he amicable about it? Friendly?
He nodded. Yes. Chatted and laughed like nothing had changed.
Mixed signals were the worst to deal with. They kept him tagging along like a second-hand toy.
Discarded in case something better came along, but keeping them close in case it didn't. He was still staring at his hands in his lap. Do you think I'm being stupid?
Not at all, I replied without hesitation. You're in love with him. You do whatever it takes. I'm certainly not one to judge.
His eyes shot to mine, his voice whisper quiet. Have you ever, you know, been in love?
And just like that, with a surprise question, I got that tight-chested feeling. Like his words squeezed my heart.
I was going to lie, but then I thought, fuck it. There was something about Andrew that made me feel, well, I wasn't sure. Safe? Like he wouldn't judge me. So, with that in mind, I told him the truth. I don't think so. Lust, sure. But love? I shook my head. I think love's for other people. Andrew studied me for a minute, like I confused him. Do you have someone? A boyfriend? I shook my head. No, no time, really. I'm too busy going on pretend dates with hot guys like you. Andrew scoffed and a slight blush crept up his neck. He was apparently at a loss for words. You say the most random things. It was true. I did. I needed to know him and Eli and of course how and why their relationship ended. So I asked him one more. It was always the hardest question. Why did he leave you? He looked at me like I'd slapped him. He didn't answer for a while. His lips pulled into a twisted pout before his teeth worried over his bottom lip again. Finally, he said, to be honest, I don't know. Like I said, everything was a whirlwind with him. We met, he moved in, he asked me to marry him, everything was going well. Well, I thought it was. Then, he shrugged. Then I came home from work and he was walking out with his suitcase.
What did he say? I asked gently.
Just that he... Andrew exhaled loudly. Just that he needed space.
So he didn't say it was over. He didn't say the engagement was off.
Andrew looked at me sadly and shook his head. No. He said he needed space and just left. Like he was heading out for milk or something.
Something was off for sure. I frowned. A look Andrew didn't miss.
What?
Then for the second hardest question. Do you think there could be someone else?
No.
Andrew shook his head. Then his brow furrowed.
Well, I don't think so.
Then he looked at me with panic in his eyes.
Oh, God. What if there is?
He looked ill before he put his head in his hands. I put my arm around his shoulder and went for a well-rehearsed line. Only this time it felt different. Andrew, listen to me. If this guy is seeing someone else, then you're better off without him. But if he just needed space and some time to see things clearly, then we'll put things into focus for him. Okay. Andrew took a deep breath and composed himself. Finally, he nodded.
Okay.
Okay then, I said with a reassuring smile.
So, If we're going to get this man of yours all jealous and groveling at your feet, begging for you to take him back, then we've got work to do. Chapter 3. I'm telling you, it was incredible, I said. Lila, Gabriel, Daniela, and Emilio all stared at me. We were having coffee in the tattoo shop, sitting where the clients waited their turn or went through ink magazines, which had become a Sunday morning brunch tradition with us. Well, I was having my usual green tea. They were having coffee, and I was getting the typical interrogation after I started a new job. What's he like? Is he a creeper? Does he have a rubber doll fetish? You know, the usual. He has artwork on his living room wall that he did himself, I told them. It was done with pencil, but then the background was watercolor ink. It was freaking art. I nodded toward the tattoo books on the coffee table between us. Better than anything I've seen in those. Yeah? Emilio asked. I knew as a tattoo artist he'd appreciate what I was saying. But he draws cartoons. He does those visual boards that go to the animators, I explained. It's really very cool. And he has a grand piano in his living room.
So, no lifelike synthetic sex dolls hiding in his closet?
Daniela asked. She sounded disappointed. Emilio scowled playfully at her. Not everyone's a pervert like you. She grinned at her husband.
Thanks, babe.
It made me laugh. Emilio and Daniela had become very close friends of mine. Landlords, yes, but Emilio had become like a big brother to me, and his beautiful wife a sister by association.
So, he's cute and completely normal?
Lola asked. I shrugged. I don't know him that well. Like, I haven't seen his sex toy drawer yet. But, yeah, if there's any such thing as normal. And I'm telling you, that's a nice change from the last guy. Gabriel snorted out a laugh. Oh, come on, he said. What's wrong with a 20-something-year-old guy having spoon collections and plastic-covered sofas? I shook my head, remembering when I first walked into that guy's place. It made me shudder. That was the least of that guy's problems. He was creepy as hell. Lola laughed.
Or the asshole super-rich guy before him, who thought his boyfriend was a commodity to be acquired and couldn't understand why the poor guy ran for the hills.
I told that guy to run for the hills, I said. I preferred the guy who covered everything in plastic and Clorox over that asshole. I could cope with the creepiness of Raymond, but Gerard, the self-entitled, self-made millionaire, thought his money could buy him whatever he wanted, including people. And that shit didn't fly with me. So when's Piano Man getting here? Emilio asked. We always had nicknames for my clients. Clorox Man, Asshole Super Rich Guy, Dog Hair Guy, Butt Man. There were made-up names for all of them. But for some reason, I didn't like the idea of labeling Andrew with a name that made him less than he was. His name is Andrew, I told them. I ignored the looks they gave me and the way Daniela's mouth fell open. And he'll be here any minute. Right on cue, Andrew, looking all nerdy proper handsome in his argyle sweater and dress pants, stopped out front of the store. He looked up at the name of the shop, completely oblivious to the five people watching him from inside. He shook his head a little, mumbled something to himself, and put his hand up to knock. Second-guessed himself, then put it down. He took a deep breath and quickly rapped on the door, probably before he lost his nerve and walked away.
Go save him, Lola said,
nudging me with her high-heeled foot. I realized then I was sitting there like an idiot,
just watching him. "Right," I said quickly, heading for the door. I unbolted it and swung it inwards. "Hey," I said in greeting. Andrew gave me a half-smile. "Hi." I stood aside. "Come in, meet my crew." Andrew stepped inside, smelling all sorts of good, and I locked the door behind him because technically the shop didn't open for another hour or so. He stood there, looking lost and out of place, staring at everyone staring back at him. He looked like he either wanted to pass out or leave. Probably both. "Andrew," I started, putting my hand on his shoulder and urging him forward a little. "This is Daniela and her husband Emilio. They own the shop. And you've met Lola already, but this is her boyfriend Gabriel. Or Gabe, as we call him. Guys, this is Andrew." The four of them waved, said hellos, and made awkward small talk. Andrew wiped his palms on his thighs, so before any of them could say anything to make him feel any more uncomfortable than he already was, and still with my hand on his back, I looked at Andrew and said, "You ready?" He nodded quickly. "Sure." Turning to my friends, who were watching us and smiling, I said, "We'll be off. Catch us later. Wanna lock the door behind us?" I went to the front door, unlocked it and held it open for Andrew. Just before the door closed behind me, I swear I heard Lola do that whisper-squeal thing she does when she's excited.
"Oh my God, did you see Spencer's face?"
There was mumbling from the others and someone laughed, but thankfully the door clicked shut before I could hear any more. By some grace of God or good manners, Andrew didn't seem to notice, either. I made a mental note to kill my so-called friends later. I pointed up the street toward the beach. "This way." After half a block of silence and small talk about his drive to my place, he said, "Your friends seem nice." I laughed. "They don't normally behave like that. They're really good people. Most people think tattoo artists are thugs, but that's not the case. Emilio and Daniela are very loyal friends to me, and Lola? Well, she's crazy. But she's my best friend. Sweet, fierce, and crazy. Not that many people could pull off having pink hair, a black and white striped dress, and teal pumps," he said. I was grinning now. "No, they couldn't. She pretty much nails that 50s pin-up girl meets punk rocker look." He smiled. "She does. There's a little Moroccan tea house around the corner," I told him, nodding up the street. "They do a great breakfast. Have you eaten?" "A few hours ago." God, it was 10 o'clock on a Sunday. "You've been up for hours already. Been to the gym too." I shook my head at him. "Then you've worked up an appetite." "I've never had Moroccan before. Certainly not for breakfast." I held the door to the cafe open and found myself smiling at him. "Then today will be your first." Inside the cafe was a mix of oranges, purples and reds. It smelled of spice and lemon. The dark wooden tables were low and the bench seats covered with cushions, and I was thankful my favourite table was still empty. It was in the corner by the window where the sunlight filtered in. I took a seat and waited for Andrew to do the same. He sat across from me, looking around.